be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
This weekend's a little bit unusual in the sense that instead of celebrating the 24th Sunday in ordinary time, we celebrate the exaltation of the cross. And that is because September 14th is the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And it is a feast of our Lord. And so it is placed in place of the ordinary Sunday. The cross. Have we ever really thought about the cross? I don't know about you, but I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've, as far back as I can remember, have seen the cross. I should say the crucifix, because the crucifix has the body of Christ on the cross. During the time of our Lord, St. Paul, Peter the Apostles, the cross was an instrument of death used by the Romans, and it was used to deter people from committing crimes. In other words, it was such a painful, hideous, and many times lengthy death of the criminal that people became to look upon the cross as something that they never wanted to experience in their own lives. If we can imagine being affixed to a cross and hanging there for several days. And not only that, you got to think about the bugs and the other animals that might come and pick at you. It was not a nice way to go. It's probably why the Romans used it. And yet the church, in her infinite wisdom, has a feast of the triumph or the exaltation of the cross. And sometimes that may leave us scratching our heads. But to have a different view than the Roman government did is not unusual with our faith. Because of the cross, we have been saved. But getting back to the scriptures, our first reading from the book of Numbers, it had only been about 3 days after they left Egypt and began their journey to the promised land that our ancestors in faith began to grumble. The taste of the water was terrible. And that was not the only thing they grumbled about. Seems that the water was bitter to their taste, and I think Meribah's, the Israel word for bitter. So we hear about the word Merah, and also Manasseh, which means grumbling. And so our ancestors grumbled. And I would say that in some regards we take after them all very, very well as we grumble about this and about that. But they grumbled because of the taste of the water. They grumbled because of the food. They grumbled because of the trek. And even in today's first reading, they grumbled because they're running out of patience. I guess they thought that their journey to the promised land would be a piece of cake. And well, it wasn't. But they grumbled. As we reflect upon their journey and our life's journey, perhaps we can see some similarities, for we too do grumble. It's not because the water tastes terrible, and it's usually not because there's a lack of food, but maybe because our patience runs thin for whatever reason. But the cross and the journey. If we can imagine, they grumbled, complained, and they even turned away from God. If we've ever read the Exodus story, it seems almost amazing that God continued to give them whatever they needed, and that was never seeming to be enough. They wanted to be set free from the land of slavery, so God heard them and sent Moses to argue with Pharaoh. And then God performed the 10 signs. And on the last, when the firstborn were taken, Pharaoh finally said, "Get out of my sight. I never want to see you again." And so they were set free. They got what they asked for. And as they are journeying, they find out that Pharaoh had a change of heart and that he sent his army to sort of bring them back. But when they reach the Red Sea, God instructs Moses to raise that staff. The sea parted. Israel passed through as if the water, or as if the ground was dry. And then after they get on the other side, Moses raises the staff again and the waters begin to flow, just as the Egyptian army is hitting the Red Sea. And their journey continues. And God follows, God leads them. And whenever they needed anything, it's all they would have had to do was say, "Dear God, can we have?" But their request was really a lack of faith and trust in God. You know, if God heard their plea to be set free and had that happen, and if God heard their anxiety because they were being chased by Pharaoh's army, and God protected them from that, but it didn't seem to be enough. We want water, and not just water, we want good water. And then it would be food. And then it would be something else. And you would think that after so many times of God intervening and helping them and giving them what they needed, that they would finally have faith and trust in God. But that never seemed to happen. The cross, the serpents, the grumbling, it's all part of what we reflect upon today. When the seraph serpents were sent and began to bite the people and they began to die, they came to realize their sinfulness and the fact that they didn't trust in God. And so Moses makes a bronze serpent, attaches it to a pole, and tells the people that if they look upon this with faith, they will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Now for us, the cross is so very, very much more. When we gaze upon the cross, it's not a pole with a bronze serpent upon it, but a Roman cross with the body of our Lord Jesus, depicted as someone who has died for our faith. What do we think when we look upon that cross, that body? Do we ever think about the pain and the suffering? Not just physically, but mentally? That Jesus came into this world and took the form of a slave, writes St. Paul? And that didn't seem to be enough. Jesus had to give his life for us. We are asked to look upon the cross and to have faith and trust, but even maybe a little bit more. We are asked to imitate our Savior, who tells us to pick up our cross and follow after him. Sometimes that's a really tall order, and we'd rather not. And yet, the cross is part of our lives. So we are asked to pick up our cross and follow after our Lord Jesus. We are asked to take a good look at that cross and to see our Savior, who emptied himself to become like a slave for us and for our salvation. We are asked to unite ourselves with Christ on the cross and with a self-emptying faith, hope, and trust, we will become more like our Savior. We will be healed. And we need to trust that God will give us everything we need as we journey through life.